We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. I have a whole lot of things to say, and a lot of people came up to me after the last class and said it was a blessing and all that, so I'm glad. This is something that is just foundational stuff that a lot of the body of Christ, they don't even have any understanding of, because it's not natural. For God to accept us, not based on our performance, we can't understand and comprehend that with our own natural understanding. It's true. I don't have time to go over that, but over in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, to know the love of God which passes understanding. Now, isn't that amazing? How can you know something if it passes understanding? By the Holy Spirit, revealed to you in your heart. How many of you have ever, you believed something, but when you heard the truth, on the inside, you knew that was true? It took you a little while, maybe for your mind to get around to it, but on the inside, you knew it was true. Amen. And so, this course is called The Power of Grace, and last class, I did not finish my outline, so I gave you another outline there, so I named it. See, I've never done outlines before to hand out, so I went back ahead and included what I hadn't talked about and made it lesson two, the law's problem, part two. I'm going to be flexible, so you guys be flexible too. You already have that page, but go ahead and take notes on this one, because I'm going to include some things to make it more, to be able to explain some things further. And before I get started today, I just want to, I woke up this morning about 3:30, and I don't always get up that early, just to let you know. But I woke up this morning at 3:30 because I wanted to make sure that I had everything, the outline ready, because I don't do outlines, like I said. I've never done that before. I just go and teach, and when I'm done, I'm done, and they write notes, and everything's great. But I got an email this morning from a good friend of mine back in Russia. He's a Russian guy that I worked with for 4.5 years. I didn't really tell you a whole lot about myself, but while we were in Russia, we put on DVD the Bible school of Lisa and myself and the other people that were teaching there, because at that time there was nothing available teaching this message at all in Russian. Now, since I was there, I was able to, that last year that we were there when they changed the visa laws and I wasn't able to stay for only 3 months, I'd have to leave for 3 months and bring my family back and forth every 3 months, it just wasn't going to work. And so, we also felt like the work that we started in Russia was drawing to a close. How many of you have, just on the inside, you knew something, even though you didn't have any evidence? You know what I'm talking about? I think my time here is done. Well, why? I don't know. I just know. I think I'm supposed to go there. Why? I don't know. I just know. And so that's a lot of times, if you love God and you're seeking God, that's all you need. Because the Bible says to be led by the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Amen. Let the peace of God be the umpire, the referee, which dictates the way the course of your life goes. How many of you know an umpire dictates the way the game goes? That's why they have them, so that the game doesn't get out of hand, and referees. And so anyway, the very last year we were there, the Lord put it on our heart strongly. The first year we were there, back in 2005, when we went back, it's a long story, God said, put the teaching on DVD. There was nothing. So we did that. We recorded the live teaching. The second year, get the DE condensed version translated into Russia, because we were going to the villages. The third year, get all of Andrew's books done. So the third year, we got 12 of Andrew's books. At the time, he only had 12. Now he has 13. But at the time, get all of Andrew's books done this year. Now, we got all 12 books done in 9 months, including the translation, the formatting, the editing, and the graphics work. And so now, Andrew's, guess what Andrew's doing? He's going on television in Russia. And all of that work is done. That's good. So why did you? I just knew I needed to get these books done. That's all. Jesus did not sit on the edge of my bed. Sean, I have a special assignment for thee. Sometimes we're waiting for that, and when it doesn't happen, we miss the plan of God. When all along in our heart we knew, but we were looking for something more spectacular. And so we got all of Andrew's books done. We now have 13 of his 15 books done, and the last two are now in the process. And so anyway, our guy there, he's been continuing the work that we started. And when we left, we had 25 students, and we had two Bible schools. We had one live school, and then we had one school as a satellite school that was using the DVDs we made. And then, of course, when the books became ready, the books as well. And so they're watching the DVDs. They're reading all of Andrew's books because that's a requirement, and they have to take tests on all of Andrew's books too. And now we have 6 of Andrew's first-year courses, the same thing you're listening to, Now it has, since that time, been dubbed into Russian, so they have those too. And so we're seeing phenomenal results. People being healed from being paralyzed. People being saved. People being set free from all sorts of things. You know, it's awesome what God's doing, isn't it? I get an email this morning because I'm going to Russia at the end of this month. And I'm going to go to St. Petersburg and I'm going to go to Ufa, where we were. We were in Ufa, Russia, a town of about 1 million. And I said, I want to go to the prison because one of the pastors that I became friends with, he's been doing ministry in prisons. And so he's been trying to find out if I can go there because in Russia, there's a lot of restrictions. They don't even want Russians in the prisons, much less foreigners. So anyway, he's been trying to find out if I could come. And I don't know what the scenario was, but he had 50 brand new prisoners that he was ministering to. And he showed them the first lesson in this foundational series that I did based on Hebrews 6, why we need Christ and all these things. And every single person in attendance, there was over 50 people, every single one at the end of the first lesson received Christ. That's awesome. You know, when you do what God wants, He's able to bless the work of your hand. You know, the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 2 that for by grace you have been saved through faith, right? And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by works. We're not saved by the law, which is the purpose of this course. But then the very next verse, Ephesians 2:10 says, and we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now that can be confusing. I thought it wasn't according to works. It's not talking about salvation then. Now you're born again. Verse 10 is talking about now you're born again. Now, based on your relationship with God and the things that you do based upon His leading, God is able to use those things to bring fruit in the kingdom of God. And it says, not of, you know, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that you should walk in them or do them. So it's not talking about salvation because you didn't show up yet when God planned the works that you would do when you got born again and looked to Him. Amen? And so today we're going to continue our lesson on the law's problem. And I hinted at it. The problem with the law was not that the law was corrupt. The problem with the law is that we are corrupt in ourselves apart from the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot keep the law in our own strength and in our own flesh. No flesh shall be justified in the sight of God is evident. We talked about that last time. So let's go ahead and so if God doesn't expect us to keep the law in order to be saved, then why in the world did God give the law? Isn't that a good question? Well, today we're going to look at that. So on your new lesson, in lesson 2, part 1, is the purpose of the law. And so the reason why Jesus gave the law, the reason why God gave the law, if you look in John chapter 1, let's go ahead and turn there real quick. John chapter 1 and verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the system of grace was not made evident. It was there before, but man didn't recognize it. Now, I don't have time to teach everything that you're going to learn, starting probably in the next term or the term after that. Andrew's going to teach you the true nature of God. Probably you've already heard that. Maybe you've read the book already. So maybe you're a little bit ahead of the game. But I don't need to teach that. But there's a reason why God gave us the law. The reason why is because man, after sin, his understanding became darkened. Isn't there a verse somewhere that says that? I think it's Ephesians chapter 3 somewhere. I think so. Ephesians chapter 4. Right? I think it's Ephesians chapter 4. That says their understanding became darkened because of sin. When sin entered the human race, back in Genesis chapter 3, man's understanding became disconnected from the life of God. It became darkened. It became so purely fleshly and soulish. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Because on our own, we don't have the power to recognize spiritual truth. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, right? Doesn't it? Talks about it being spiritually discerned. The truth of God is spiritually discerned when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, for no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, right? But God has freely given us the Spirit so that we would know all things. So we need the Holy Spirit to know truth and to know the Word of God. That's why it is imperative for you to have the Holy Spirit functioning in your life. Who's the one who allows the Holy Spirit to function in our life? We do, by yielding to the Holy Spirit. So the truths of God are spiritually discerned. They're not carnal. For the carnal mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the purpose of the law, one reason was to remove our deception about our true condition apart from Christ's redeeming work. How many of you ever met someone who didn't believe there's anything such thing as sin? Oh, I've not done nothing wrong. Sin's relative. It all depends on who you are, how you're brought up. It's personal. What may be wrong for you is not wrong for me. There was one Spanish guy. I'm not picking on Spanish guys. There was a Spanish guy. And what I mean by Spanish guy, I mean a guy from Spain. You know, here, we call a lot of them Spanish guys or Latinos. We're not talking about Latin American. We're talking about from Spain, Europe. And so he had traveled to Russia, and he was working for an advertising company, I think magazine. So he was working in Russia for a while, and he was a good Catholic. And part of his... Now, folks, this is how ridiculous it gets when we base what we consider right and wrong based on how we think instead of what the Bible teaches. You know, there are people in the so-called Church of God, whether they be Catholic or whether they be whatever, Anglican, or whether they even be whatever it is. I'm not picking on anyone. The Bible says circumcision nor uncircumcision avails much but a new creation. It doesn't matter what church you belong to if you're not born again. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Protestant. That's not even important. A lot of people have faith in being a Protestant, and they're not even born again. A lot of people have faith in being a Catholic. They're not born again. So this guy was, in his mind, now this is really messed up, folks, but this guy really thought he was right. He tried to see how many, I'm going to be just straight, how many women he could have physical relationships with. Because making a woman feel good is the right thing to do. Now, folks, that's ridiculous. Sounds so ridiculous to us. But this guy actually thought that God was pleased with this. Now, aren't there some people that think in similar ways, but about in different ways and in different fashions? And you can listen to some porn stars if you ever listen. And you know, they have interviews with porn stars. I was watching this one minister, and he was interviewing this porn star. And this porn star said that she believed she was doing a good thing because she was helping people. Folks, that's all the deception of the devil. Apart from God's word, we really don't know our condition. Man thought he was doing pretty good. Man did not know how spiritually bankrupt he was. God had to show him. So that's why God gave the law. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law." Now, folks, what was the first verse I started with last Friday? Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." The only way you're under grace is if you're born again. Now, a lot of people who are born again, but still operating under law, they may be born again, but they're not receiving the benefits of being under grace. So, but all unbelievers, whether they understand it or not, are under the law. In the book of Revelation, when you go to Revelation chapter 20, "And the dead who were dead without Christ, they will be resurrected and they will stand before the great white throne of judgment." Okay? And it says, "And the books were opened and they were judged according to their deeds." Folks, we're not judged according to our deeds. We're judged according to Christ's deed on the cross. And as we continue in this course, you have to hear the whole course. How many of you know that sometimes we jump the gun? How many of you ever jumped the gun when you're hearing a preacher? I've done it. I don't know how many times I hear them say a statement that may not be balanced, and I say, "Now hold on." And then a little bit later in the book or in the teaching, I shouldn't have judged him so fast. "Now hold on, Andrew." And then turn the page. Oh, he did say, okay. So we're going to talk about in this course, using grace, tapping into the power of grace to live the holy life that all true believers want to live anyway. How many of you want to live holy? Come on. If you're born again, you want to live right. The problem is that when we're doing it by the power of our own flesh, thinking that this is how we do it and this is what God expects, we don't find the power to do what we want to do. But we have to see the true condition of ourselves and how God sees our works apart from faith in Him, how God truly sees it before we can ever give up on trying that system and totally embrace what Christ has given us. Amen. Here is a statement that you can write down. I heard it from a preacher, a very wise preacher. He was about 80-something years old when I heard it back in 1995, 96. He's probably with the Lord. This man, he was a good friend of Andrew. He may still be alive, but you know, that was 13 years ago at 84, now he's 97. It's possible. But more than likely, he's enjoying the presence of Jesus face to face, unveiled. But he said, before you can disown something, you must first own something. In other words, we have to own our true bankrupt condition apart from the empowering, life-giving source of the Holy Spirit. We have to acknowledge who we are in ourselves, folks. And this is not a self-flagellating, I didn't say flatulating. Flagellating, where you're beating yourself and thinking of yourself more lowly than you ought to think. Oh, I'm just a worm. We're not worms. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you'll never experience the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in your life until you totally give up on trying to produce it in your flesh. Amen? This is good stuff you don't hear very often. But you're going to hear it a lot here in this school. Amen. When you guys leave here, you're going to be on cloud nine. You're in a bubble right now. How many of you have discovered that in a short time? You're in this incredible bubble, but you have to get this in yourself. You have to make your own bubble, because when you leave here, it's only you and God. And if you didn't get it, then it's going to be very difficult to maintain what you're getting here by just being in the environment. How many of you know, when you're in an environment, it produces certain things? If you go to the amusement park and you go on the roller coaster, even if you're been depressed, if you forget about that for a second, it can produce exhilaration, at least while the thing's going down the hill. But you get off the roller coaster, then immediately, right? If you haven't changed the way you think, you're going to go right back into the old way of thinking. And so here it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. So what is the law's purpose? To stop every lying mouth that they have no sin. John, 1 John chapter 1 says, and he who says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. And John's writing to believers. He wasn't talking about in their spirit and what Christ has done. He was talking about in themselves. We are still, if it wasn't for the grace of God and God accepting us based on who Christ is and what Christ has done, God would never be able to accept us based on ourselves. It's to remove the pride that I'm doing pretty good. Because the only way you can think you're doing pretty good is when you compare yourself to another man. Or another woman. But when you compare yourself to God, you would have to fall flat on your face and say, God, be merciful to me. I am a man of unclean lips. And this was Isaiah, who probably was not living and cursing and drinking and carousing. Think about it. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, God already knew they were guilty, but they know now they're guilty. But when you accept Christ, Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin, right? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the Russian Bible, it says before God. Just like here, before God. When you recognize who you are in yourself, you become guilty in your own sight before God. When you receive Christ the way you know, and you start to think the way God reveals in His Word, and you see yourself, as the righteous of God before, the righteous of God in Christ Jesus before God. When you see it through God's eyes. Amen. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. No flesh. How much flesh? How many of you have flesh? Those of you who don't have flesh, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm more spiritual than I thought and I'm seeing angels. I don't know. But we all have flesh. And if no flesh is justified in His sight by the deeds of the law, right? In His sight, not in our sight. You have to always remember this. We can deceive ourselves and think we're justified. I'm praying an hour every day. I'm reading my Bible. I'm witnessing to everything that moves. Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. Right? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in the sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You want to talk to someone who's deceived and they don't think they have sin? Use a little law on them. Watch and see how quickly they crumble. When you use the law purposefully, I don't have time to go into this, but it says in Timothy, I can't remember if it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, it says that the law, if is nothing wrong with, let's go ahead and turn there so I don't misquote it. Verse chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, it says, for we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. The problem is the church has not been using it lawfully. How do we know? Let's look, how do you use the law lawfully? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. How many of you are righteous in the sight of God because of Christ? So when the church uses the law A lot of times it's to control and intimidate and manipulate and to keep you in their fold because they don't want to lose you, because they want to think they're doing a good job. They're using the law unlawfully. The law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, the insubordinate, for the ungodly, and for sinners. Now, I don't want to go into the rest of that because you're getting the point I'm trying to bring across. Let's look at Romans chapter 7 real quick. You're going to see this in another angle. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? In other words, was God wrong by giving the law? No. Is the law wrong? No. One of the problems when people start to embrace what they believe is grace is that they try to criticize the law. Folks, you don't need to criticize the law if you're using it lawfully. And so I've come to people and who did not believe they had sin. I say, let me ask you one question. Have you ever lied ever in your life? And if they say no, you're lying right now. Did you ever lie to your parents ever? Why are you home so late? Well, and here goes the story. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but Sean, why do you smell like cigarettes? Well, my friends, I don't know what's wrong with them. I'm trying to tell them they don't need these cigarettes, but, you know, they're my friends, and, you know, you and you're in a room of smoke, you know. So why are they in your drawer? Oh, well, you know, they thought they'd get in trouble if their parents caught them, so I'm holding them for my friends. So your parents say, oh, so you'd like to get in trouble for them. Lies, lies, lies. Why are you late to work? Oh, traffic. Well, that might have cost you 5 minutes. But more than likely, not 100% case, sometimes a bridge breaks or a train. No, really, you know, it can break if you're on the, you know, different parts of the country. You have bridges that do this and it might break up. You can't go nowhere and you're stuck in traffic. That's true. But most of the time it's because we left late, isn't it? So we've all lied. How many of you ever stole a pencil that was on the ground? How about a quarter? Ooh, a quarter. And then I show them Revelation chapter 21 where it says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. How many lies does it take to be a liar? How many times do you have to steal to be a thief? But I only did it once. I only broke in your house. I never broke into your house before. Yours is the first house I ever broke in. I don't care. You're a thief. Oh, don't call me that. It was only once. Remember how we said if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of breaking all. And so you will see people's faces change quickly. There's an anointing on the law of God to bring condemnation. There's an anointing on the law of God that all mouths will be stopped. I have no sin. Have you ever lied? Yes. All of a sudden, people will either get mad before they were all, it's all relative. Hey, if it's okay with you, whatever. I don't need Jesus. If you need that crutch, whatever. You bring them the law. And all of a sudden, they're not so passive. Now, not everyone needs the law. Some people know they need God. You don't need to use the law. That's unlawful. The lawful is to remove deception for those who don't think they need him. So people have broken down. Oh my gosh, I did not know. Now I see it. Guess what? Once someone's gotten convicted and they see their true condition before God, throw out the law, bring in the gospel. The law is not the gospel. The law is to prepare you for the gospel. We're going to look at the verses that will tell you the exact very thing, but that's a statement that is worth its weight in gold. Romans chapter 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. Think about it. Don't have time to go into it. Let's move on. The law was not given to bring life. If you just do it, then you'll have life. If you would just keep the commandments, then God would love you. And there's verses that they can use that they twist to their own destruction to prove that. There are verses that say, and if we love him, we keep his commandments. And they twist it by saying, see, if you keep it, you will love him. No, if you love him, you will keep it. Amen. If you love your wife, you won't go running around on her. I don't care what you say. I love my wife. I just can't help myself. You're a liar. You love yourself. You don't love your wife. Those are all deceptions, folks. Romans 7. The law was not given to bring life, but to bring death. Apostle Paul said this. Who was the Paul? He was the Pharisee, a ruler. He was Hebrew. He was circumcised the eighth day. Concerning the law, he had zeal. Concerning the faith, persecuting the church, and he had zeal. And concerning the law, he was blameless. And look what the Apostle Paul says. What the law brought. Verse 8. But sin, taken opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. What that's saying is, apart from the law, you were sinning, but you didn't know it. But when the law came and it showed you what was truly right and what was truly wrong, you recognized how much you desire that which is not right. In other words, the law drew out who you really were in your flesh. Amen? It's like one of those types of things. How many of you ever seen those rattlesnake kits? First aid kit, you can have a rattlesnake thing in there. You get bit by a rattlesnake, you have the thing, you stick it on there, and it draws the poison out, right? It's in there. You may not see it. You will see the two fang marks, but you know what? If depending on what kind of snake it is, if it's a coral snake, you don't see the bite marks very well because they're so small. Their teeth are so small. A coral snake's very small. So you may not see it, but guess what? It's there, and you better draw it out. Amen? So the law was to draw sin out, to reveal it to you, so that you turn to Jesus, who is the antidote. Amen. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law. Isn't that awesome? I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, you were going about your business. You didn't give a rip because you weren't thinking about it. How many of you, before you got born again, you didn't care what you did, really? You can be as ruthless and mean and nasty to people. You didn't give a flying rip. I noticed that because I struggle at times with temper. And I don't want to have to demonstrate it to prove it. But I think lots of people struggle with temper in different areas. Why? Temper is flesh. How many of you ever heard Christians say, oh, that made me so mad it brought out my German blood, or it brought out my Italian blood, or it brought out my Latino blood, or it brought out my this, or it brought out my that. And what they're saying is, because of who I am in the flesh, I can't help it. That's a lie. It isn't your blood, it's your flesh. How you trained your flesh to respond. Your dad blew up, so you learned. Every time something happened you don't like, you blow up. That's what we do. Now, we don't put words on that, but that's what we learn. So I remember, man, after getting born again, there were times where I acted in a way that wasn't becoming someone who believes in Christ. In other words, you treated someone not so good. Maybe it's someone at a store. Get a little attitude with them. I mean, I know no one's never done that, right? You get a false charge on your statement. You call them up and they don't want it. It is your charge. You let them, before long, I want to talk to the manager. I want to talk to someone who's competent. I'm done with you. Give me someone who can handle. Give me someone who can use their mind. I've done that. And after you do it, oh, God. Why did I do that? That's what it's talking about. Look at verse 10. This is so powerful. It'll set you free. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. The law was not given to bring life. It was given to bring death. Isn't it amazing the Apostle Paul wrote this? If it wasn't in the Bible, I would be stoned in many places. How many of you know that the same people who used to love Paul wanted to kill him after he started preaching the truth, saying, he's trying to destroy the law and the temple. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 and 9 says, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones, what was written and engraved on stones, the Ten Commandments? It called it a ministry of what? Death. Oh, but brother, we still got to keep the Ten Commandments. Let me explain something to you. You don't have to keep the Ten Commandments or any other commandment in order for God to receive you and for you to be saved. When you get saved and you get full of the life of God, you're going to keep the Ten Commandments simply by your new nature. If you're living out of your new nature, you're not going to want any other God but Him. You're not going to want to commit adultery. You're not going to want to bear false witness. You're not going to want to steal or murder. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Let me tell you how it's not more glorious when you're still embracing the law instead of the Spirit. If you truly embrace the Spirit, you will be contagious. But if you embrace the law, you will be an aversion. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? If you're beating people over the head with those tablets of stone, guess what? No wonder they're running. But if your life is full of the fragrance of God, guess what? Everyone likes a nice smell. What's that smell? Ooh. Amen? Verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation, so the law was labeled as a ministry of death and a ministry of condemnation. Now, how many of you, if the pastor stood up and said, "Now I'm going to be preaching a little condemnation and death today," how many of you are going to stick around? That's not what they say. What they say is, "I'm going to be preaching you life and truth." But what does the Bible say? The law came from Moses, which is condemnation and death, but life and truth, grace and truth, came by Jesus. The law was given to strengthen sin's fight against us. The law was given to strengthen sin against us, not to strengthen us against sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." If you want to be dominated by sin, get under the law. That's why the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. If sin is having dominion over you, I don't care what you say, you're under the law. Which we learned last session is a system of self-righteousness. It may not be the Ten Commandments or the commandments in the Bible. It could be a whole new set of commandments. Whatever your group, your denomination, your church, your associations make up. How many of you ever see people that are dressed almost in the same thing? There's no uniform, but they look the same. They have their hair in the same bun. They make their own clothes, and they must use the same pattern because all the dresses look the same. I'm not making fun of them, and if everyone ever hears this message that's in that, I love you, I'm not making fun of you. But we make our own laws as humans. Why? Because we can understand laws with our brain. We can understand grace with our natural brain. It takes a revelation of the Holy Ghost to walk in the Spirit instead of to walk in the flesh. The law was given to bring us to Christ. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Now, isn't that awesome? The law was given to bring us to Christ. So if we've been brought to Christ, isn't it as a matter of reason we don't need the law? Now, that's a great statement, but it means nothing unless the Bible says it. So let's go see what the Bible says. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Notice, why did the law come? Because of transgressions. It wasn't given, it wasn't added for righteousness. For Christ, Romans 10:4, is the end of the law for righteousness for those who believe. The law wasn't given for righteousness. The law was given because of transgressions. In other words, man didn't think he was that bad, so God gave the law to remove that deception. How many have ever tried to help someone that didn't believe they need help? You can't help them. You know, you really have a problem with alcohol. No, I don't. I can control it. I'm fine. You're the one that has the problem. Deceptions. And until they even the world knows this, until you recognize what your problem is, you can't get help. Galatians 3:19. For what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. Till. Awesome. Till. Until. What if I say I'm serving dinner until 7 o'clock? It means if you come at 7:01, there's no dinner. Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page with the English language here? Till means unto that point, and then it's what? Isn't it amazing how we've had so much help misunderstanding the word? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Who's the seed here? Jesus. Has Jesus come? So guess what? You missed dinner if you're still trying to be there. To whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Verse 21. Is the law therefore against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, well, wait a minute. Before you would be declared righteous if you kept the law by God. No, you did not. Never, ever, ever. Every single person who was ever used by God was justified by faith. No one was ever justified by the deeds of the law. Never, never, never. In other words, life doesn't come from the law. If life came from the law, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus to come. Galatians 2:21 says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness or life comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Okay, verse 22, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, not to those who work, to those who believe. Hold your place there. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 4 real quick. Verse 5, Romans 4:5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Did you notice that? What kind of person does God justify? An ungodly person. Isn't that good news? Because apart from Christ, you know what ungodly means? It simply means to not be exactly in yourself like God, right? God never slumbers nor sleeps. How many of you slumber or sleep? No, there's nothing wrong with that. God made us that way. Now, I don't know when we receive our glorified body and we're in heaven and we're on the new earth, whether we'll need to sleep or not. Probably not. But God justifies the ungodly. And what does it say? His faith is accounted for righteousness. Why is it only the ungodly that God can justify? Because people who aren't convinced they're ungodly will not believe. What do I need God for? I'm doing pretty doggone good, the Pharisee said. Matter of fact, he needs me. Galatians chapter 3. Back there, we need to finish this, okay? That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, in other words, there was a time before Jesus came, right? But before faith came, we were kept, under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. I don't have time to explain this, but the law was like a governor on an engine. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You put a governor on the carburetor or engine. I'm not a mechanic, but you put it on, think it's on the carburetor or on the engine. What does that mean? It means that it can only accelerate to a certain point, right? It doesn't stop the car, but it slows it down. The law did not stop sin. It merely slowed it down among the people of Israel so that Jesus, until Jesus should come. I don't have time to explain all that, but you'll hear that from Andrew. And we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that in the Greek here, how many of you know the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek? Okay? I don't know Greek, but thank God for those who knew Greek. But the problem is that when we're reading this Bible in English, when we see tutor, we get a certain understanding of what tutor or teacher. What does it say in King James? Schoolmaster. We get a certain idea of what that means. A tutor is someone who helps you, right? Someone who helps you to do what's right and do what you need to do. In the Greek, this word for tutor or schoolmaster was used for only one type of occupation. And back in that day, they did not have public education like we do today. Only the wealthy could afford to send their children to school. The tutor's job was more like, a better word would be chauffeur. The tutor took the child's hand to make sure the child was, you know, it was going to end up in the place where it needed to go. Took the child's hand, and when it got to the one who was the teacher, the tutor let go and left. That was the job of the law. Once the law has shown you your condition and put you at the feet of Christ, when you embrace Christ, the law is done. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll continue next time.